Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. These words begin perhaps the most beloved of all Christmas hymns. The beautiful, simple words seem to express so eloquently our thoughts and emotions tonight. But have you ever stopped to think about the words themselves? What they mean and why we sing them? In particular, why do we say it was a silent night? After all, there's nothing really in Scripture that explicitly says it was silent. Of course, it was night, and the nighttime is usually quiet, especially in a remote little village like Bethlehem. So it makes sense that we assume that it was silent. But there's something more than that going on. The intuitive sense that it must have been silent. First of all, because of the awe of the moment, the wonderment of Mary and Joseph, the astonishment of the ox and lamb, the amazement of the angels. And even more than that, what could they even say? What words could begin to express or explain what was happening? We still struggle today. How do you praise God enough or explain to what he's done? God the Son, creator of the universe, took on the nature of one of the things he had created. God became man. You might as well say the Son became a worm. The Son, God the Son, who can hold the whole universe in his hand, somehow confined himself to the tiny body of a little baby. God the Son, who was exalted, worshipped, and adored by all the angels and all the holy souls, became a vulnerable child. And he did all this so that he could reveal himself to us, so that we could know him and know the fullness of truth about him and his Father and about ourselves and each other. And also so that he could set us free from our sins by dying a horrible death in atonement for them. All this because he loved us so much. That's what happened that night. But those words and no other words can really capsulize or capture the fullness of the ineffable wonder of the reality. How do we even begin to understand or know the depth of the love, thankfulness, and praise that we have or should have in our hearts, much less come up with words to express it? Even the Blessed Mother would have been speechless as the miraculous birth unfolded, and then lovingly holding her little newborn boy in her arms, yet knowing that this infant, so tender and mild, was truly Creator and Savior. As Scripture tells us, and Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And so there was silence. And we join her in pondering all these things in our hearts. Silent night, holy night. Of course, the silence is interrupted from time to time. Once by the voice of the angel who comes to tell the good news to the poor shepherds in the field. But even the angel struggles to explain, as all he can manage is to say just a few words that are true and profound, but only really scratch the surface. Behold, he says, I proclaim to you good news of great joy, for today a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. True, but so inadequate. And so what does he do? He adds, you will find the infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. As if to say, go, look and see for yourself. Behold, and you stand in awe. and you too will be speechless, silent. And so we join Mary and Joseph, the lambs, the shepherds, and the angels in that silent night, quietly gazing on the newborn babe's innocent face, in the image of the manger or in the mind's eye of the imagination, adoring him, loving him, and in silence, hearing him. Not with words sounding in our ears, but with inspirations forming in our hearts. We hear him say to us, "Look how I have loved you. Look how I have stripped myself of the glory of heaven and come down to you. Look how I have loved you. Love me." And if we listen closely, we may also hear him say to us, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And if we look closely, perhaps we could see his tiny hand lift from the wood of the manger and point forward through the years to the wood of the cross. And there at the cross, we see the same body of Jesus, now only grown, still innocent, but now bloody and scarred. And beside him, as she was beside the manger, his blessed mother. And there too was silence as she pondered all these things in her heart. God had become her little baby. Her little baby had become a man. All to hang on the cross for the sins of other men. God so loved the world that he was born as one of us and laid down his life for all of us. And perhaps we can feel with her a sort of sorrow slightly touching our hearts as she again holds the crucified body of her son in her loving arms as she once held his infant body so gently in Bethlehem. And we stand with his holy mother in silence, pondering all these things in our hearts. But then our moment of silent sorrow is interrupted again by the sweet cooing of the sweet baby in the manger. And the pain passes, and we look once again on the face of the divine child, and all we see is his love, divine, infinite love incarnate. And our hearts are turned from all the sorrows of this world to the greatest fruits of his love. Inexpressible joy and enduring peace. And then suddenly, the silence of the night is broken again, as almost in frustration at their inexpressible joy, the heavenly angelic host burst forth in joyful song. And so we break our silence too, but still struggling for words, we steal the words of the angels and sing with them and make them our own, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests, people of goodwill. And still struggling for words, we proceed to recite other ancient prayers taken from scripture or written by the great saints and doctors of the church all throughout the Mass. And we sing with the most joyful, thoughtful hymns we can, led by the most angelic voices in our choir, singing, "Christ the Savior is born." And the darkness of the night is broken too, as we read, "The glory of the Lord shone around them," and we sing, "Glory streams from heaven afar." And we remember that the babe born is the light of the world, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from his holy face, the dawn of redeeming grace. But our most eloquent response continues to be not spoken or sung words, as important and necessary as they are, but the eloquence in the silence of our hearts. Because all those words, all those songs are meaningless unless they flow from that silent heart that ponders, adores, and loves Jesus. Silent night, holy night. Now, it's true, there are lots of words spoken and sung at every Mass, including this Mass, Christ Mass, Christmas. But even so, if you notice, there are lots of periods of silence, especially for you. Even when a song is being sung, especially by the choir, even when the priest is praying out loud, you so often are called to sit there silently, but not inactively. Instead, you silently but actively listen, pray, and ponder the awesome mysteries laid out before you. This is especially true of the two most important parts of the Mass, during the Eucharistic prayer and at Holy Communion. As you kneel in silence during the Eucharistic prayer, you hear the words that, like the angels' words to the shepherds, echo in your heart and through all the ages. This is my body. And as the bells ring, like the choirs of angels singing, Alleluia, the priest lifts up the host, and you look in silent awe, not at some image of wood of the Christ child or some holy imagined image in your mind, but on the true body of Jesus, the very same body born of Mary and laid in the manger 2,000 years ago. And then a few minutes later, you hear the words, the body of Christ. And you respond not with all sorts of long prayers, not with a long statement of your faith and devotion, but with a simple amen and silence. And Christ the Savior, who was born in the flesh to dwell among us, comes to you in the flesh to dwell in you. Yes, the crucified Jesus, but also, in a very real way, the holy infant, so tender and mild. And you go back to your pew in silence to speak to him from your heart, sentiments and thoughts no words can express. And you listen to him and ponder all these great mysteries with Mary and Joseph and the angels. There is a time for words and singing. There's a time for laughter and making merry. And there is a time for silence as well. Even as we leave here today and we go home to our friends and family, and you're in the midst of lots of cheerful noise of the day, take a moment from time to time to go back to the silence in your hearts. And there be back in Bethlehem with Mary and Joseph, the angels and the shepherds, and with Jesus, and ponder all these things, and know the peace and joy that Jesus alone can give. And as you go forward into the world this week and in the new year, and you're surrounded by so much busy noise, whether happy, sad, angry, or tiresome noise, take time to go back to the quiet of your heart to be with Jesus. Because he came to be with us, to dwell with us, to bring us true peace and joy. Not as the world brings it, but as we sing, a heavenly peace and joy that passes all understanding, all explanation, and all words. Not just at Christmas, as wonderful as it is, but every day. And not just at Mass, as important as it is, but at every single moment of life. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.